City Council Finance Committee is called to order. Need a motion for the accepting of the minutes of March 18th.
Favorable action?
Seconded.
We have a motion favorable, we have a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Before we get into the book of business, I just want everyone to know that we have run the numbers for any accounts that's requiring funding, and there is adequate monies in those accounts based upon the bids in front of you. We're going to start with item 1, 2019-136, found on page 1.
Good evening, Lori Michaelides on behalf of the Police Department.
Good evening, Major. Welcome to our City Council meeting. Very glad to have you.
Thank you.
Looking forward to working with a friendly person. That's always in a good mood.
Big shoes to fill.
No, seriously, looking forward to working with you, Major. Thank you, and congratulations on your appointment. Go ahead.
All right, under Section 612, the Police Department is requesting permission to increase PCR 146-18 from 7,200 to 12,600. In September of last year, the Police Department requested spending authority in the amount of 7,200 for recruit psychological evaluations, anticipating the need to hire approximately 12 officers. We did, in fact, hire 12 officers. Since that time, however, there have been several additional retirements. We anticipate hiring 4 to 6 more officers in the next 3 months. I am requesting the original authorization be increased from 5,400 to a total of 12,600. Each eligible candidate is to be given a psychological evaluation, and they cost $600 per eval. If approved, the funding would come from the police operating budget 30-335, medical examinations. And as of this afternoon, the available funding is $8,630.
Very good. You're not going to believe this, but I don't have any questions. Any questions from members of the committee? Sir?
And again, these evaluations, these are for individuals that are not currently city employees. These are recruits, so that's why we're having
exactly.
It from this account. Okay, thank you.
Sir?
I'd like to just say on record, welcome, Major, and
I'll
also look forward to working with you in the committee.
Thank you.
Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much, Major.
Thank you.
That was pretty easy. Okay. 2019-234, found on page 7. Rescue support software maintenance.
Phil Carlucci, MIS Director.
Go ahead, Phil.
This is a request under City Ordinance 612 to increase the award amount on bid 2019-234 by $2,777.86. What had happened is we had come before you asking for software support maintenance costs that were associated with the software. Lo and behold, about a month after we came here, another invoice came in. So I contacted the company and asked them, you know, why aren't these invoices together? What are the modules that it happened to be associated with? The response was that they were purchased at different times, and thus the cycle of the maintenance comes differently. Because it was paid previously on a voucher, it was not on our bid sheet that we keep track of to try to get ahead of these things. So I did speak with them and asked them if they would be able to align all of the invoices together going into future years, and they said that they would work on that. So I have to go back and check with them, and I'm still waiting for them to come back with the cost that's going to be associated with one invoice a year that will cover all the modules of this particular software.
How far back does this invoice go, this $2,777?
I believe it's the January. It's this year's.
January's. So they're clear as to what it is that you're expecting going forward, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so we're not going to be getting these invoices that are
dribs and drabs,
shotgun effect all over the place.
That, yeah, absolutely. Yes, I did point that out to them. And yes, this is for this year, January to December.
Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. 2019.
Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. 2019-258, found on page 16, access and site improvements to Green Cemetery. Lucas?
Good evening. Luke Murray, Planning Department. Please request approval for a bid of construction services for 2019-258 access to site improvements to Green Cemetery. As you know, George Sears Green is a hero and icon of our great city. He grew up a short walk from City Hall and went on to graduate second in his class at West Point. After a long career as a successful civil engineer, he re-entered the Army at the age of 60, which I can't imagine, to fight with the Union during the Civil War. He became a brigadier general and received praise for his actions at the Battle of Gettysburg and specifically the defense of Culp's Hill. So there's the history lesson. This project will restore access to one of Warwick's most important cultural landmarks, so we may once again honor General Green's extraordinary efforts and ongoing legacy. This effort will also begin the process of mending the fabric of Apatog Village after several long years of construction and a reconfiguration of transportation corridors in the area. This first phase of construction includes several parking spaces dedicated to cemetery access, a multi-tier staircase with handrails, several small seating walls, interpretive signage panels, benches, iron fencing, and miscellaneous other aesthetic and functional enhancements. Just a quick history on the project. As you may remember, in July of 2018, I asked council to reallocate about $100,000 grant from DEM to this project, which was originally a 2013 grant that we slated for this project and moved over. And that grant had a 50% match requirement. The Apatog Area Improvement Association has stepped up and committed allocations under the Community Development Block Grant and supported this project. And so they're going to make up the difference of the project in the total bid, which I'll present. But it's been a great community effort to bring this to the table. And that therefore, no city match will be required from our general fund. It'll all come from federal community development block grant funding. In October, we had come to council again for the contract of design award to Bradford Associates. And since then, we've been working closely with the community on the design, and I specifically want to thank Councilman McAllister and Councilman Sinapi for the support of this project, which they have expressed. This project was publicly bid with over a dozen contractors proactively notified by our purchasing department. We had nine companies that were represented at the mandatory pre-bid meeting. Three bid responses were received. We are recommending tonight to award Shadley Brothers Landscaping, which was the lowest qualified, responsive, and responsible bidder, in the amount of $222,889. And then you have the breakdown, I believe, of the funding allocation sources, which include grant pass-through accounts and community development block grant. Finally, I just want you to know that we did reach out to the vendors who did not bid on the project. Two of those felt that the job was either too big or too small for them. One felt the paperwork was too much effort in order to comply, and as you know, with community development block grant comes Davis-Bacon Act and a myriad of other forms, so that is a little bit out of our control. One had too much on their schedule already, one determined the scope was outside of their field, and one did not respond to our inquiries. So we tried to track that down for you. And at that, I'll have any questions.
Lucas, I'll let my colleagues speak to the grant itself, which I think is pretty impressive. But I want to speak to what you just commented about, and I'll read it in the record. At the time of this memorandum, the office had reached out to all those vendors that attended the pre-bid meeting and did not submit a proposal to inquire as to their reason for not submitting a proposal. And it is certainly refreshing to see that once again, departments are living up to the task that the Finance Committee and the City Council has requested of all of you, and that's to reach out to the vendors and find out why they're not bidding. You've got a myriad of reasons here, and I think it's going to be interesting to see where we can go or want to go with some of these answers to increase more activity in the bid process. But thank you for doing that. That's exactly what we expect going forward from all of the departments. Let's reach out to those vendors. Questions from the council? Yes, Councilman.
Thank you very much, and thank you for all your work on this. This is an exciting project, and as you see, we have different types of funding for this, and I want to make a special mention. I know that you commented as well about the Apanog Improvement Association. The Apanog Association is making the match for us with their funds that they receive. This is an exciting project. They're going to be have new viewing and seating areas to go up to the cemetery, and well needed. We went up a couple months ago, and we had to help everybody up and help everybody down. And then we're going to have signage, so when you're going up, you can kind of stop, you can look, and it'll point to say if you're facing City Hall, there's going to be signage, and it's going to talk about the history of City Hall. And you go up another farther, and you're looking over at the pond, and it will talk about the pond. And then you get up to the cemetery, and it will talk about the general. So this is really exciting. We're also going to have benches in this area. It's going to be more open space for walking paths. We might eventually be able to connect and make a biking path around there. So you can go from, you know, Cafe Tempo across all the way up. You can go around. And this is really, and again, this is an area that has kind of been stuck for a long time because of all the construction in Apanog and around. And so this is an exciting project. It's a great use of grant funding that going out, open space grants from the state. The state's involved, city. We have the local groups that are on this. We have the Historic Cemetery Commission. They have been doing cleanups there for years and keeping up of this. And people have been traveling. They know, you know, that the general is from Warwick, and that, you know, history buffs, they like that. And this will be a great asset to our city. So it's you know, a lot of moving parts and a lot of different things. And I was really happy with the bidding process as well. As the chairman said, you even had a mandatory meeting beforehand. This is exactly what we're looking for and stuff like that. If you want to bid, come to that. I mean, that's great. It's also a Warwick company that's going to be receiving the bid, which is also great. So this is a very exciting project. You know, we're going to, the Gorton's Pond is right there, Apanog Village, all this different investment that we're doing in that part of the city, and this really ties into the history of the city in Apanog, and I think this is a really exciting project. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Councilman, and congratulations on your hard work as well, and Councilman Sinapi also, and anyone else involved in this project. Councilman, do you have anything to add? Any questions? Yes, Councilwoman
Travis.
No,
I just wanted to add to Councilman McAllister's remarks, because this is a long time coming, and I know how hard the Cemetery Commission has been dreaming of this to be done. And I've worked with Luke. He put our Oakland Beach master plan together, and I know he does a very thorough job, and he makes sure all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. And I appreciate the fact that he went out and reached out to those other vendors too to find out why they didn't bid on it. But I can't wait to see it done, because we've all been waiting for a long time to have this done. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Any other questions from members of the council? Any questions or comments from members of the public? Come on up.
Councilman, I just would like to my name is Margaret Malcolm. I'm the chair of the Historic Cemetery Commission, and I would like to say that I appreciate everything that you're doing. The general was a very, very interesting man. He was born around the corner practically from here. So I appreciate what you're doing, and I look forward to working with all you in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for all that you do, as well as all of your colleagues on the commission. As you've heard us all say many times in the past, you do an amazing job with maintaining the cemeteries here in Warwick. Thank you. Any other comments from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Luke. 2019-284, Command Leadership Training, found on page 34.
The department is seeking an exception to bid and authorization for a specialized training expense for two newly promoted lieutenants. The training involved is for attendance at the FBI leader course entitled Command Leadership, hosted by the Cheshire Police Department in Cheshire, Connecticut. The training is taking place May 6th through May 10th. The police contract specifically requires mandatory training be provided for all newly promoted officers at the department's expense within 6 months of promotion. The total cost for the training for both lieutenants is $3,015, and if approved, it will come from the training budget, budget code 30-302, which has a current balance as of this afternoon of $21,041.
Major, this includes lodging, I see, as well, correct?
That's correct.
And I know neither you nor the chief were here during the time that the police department were looking to send some trainees to Massachusetts for some training. And I had spoken with some of the troopers from Massachusetts regarding lodging, and oftentimes they offer lodging free to other police departments that are up in that area for training. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if there's anything available for this particular thing. It's a bit late for me to be bringing it up, I understand, but just in the future, it's just something that I know you weren't aware of in the past, but we did make arrangements for our officers to stay for free in that police academy that they have going on down there in Massachusetts. Any questions from members of the council? From the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Major. Thank you. Item 2020-011, Municipal Recycling Facilities, found on page 50.
Matthew Salitro, Department of Public Works Director for the City of Warwick. The department is asking to extend this bid for a contract period from July 1st, 2019 to June 30th, 2020. Again, this is a revenue bid.
Any questions from members of the committee? Sir?
Revenue generating, correct, for
yes.
the city? Thank
yep,
you very
sorry.
Much.
Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Acceptance of the minutes of March 18th.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We will take PCR 48-19 relative to abatements.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the Finance Committee. Neil Dupuy, Director of Assessing. This month we have abatements in the amount of $61,691.76. The majority of which, by the way, are Board of Assessment Review decisions that they made. So I can answer what my feeling on them is, but I didn't make those decisions. So,
sure, let's hear about your feelings.
Well, case by case, you know, the people came forward, made their pitch to the board, and the board made their decisions based on their belief. I will say that we're working with the board to try to make it so that they follow a little bit more of a standard procedure. In the past, I think it was a little bit of a loose arrangement where they didn't necessarily have guidelines. So we put guidelines in place. They've adopted those guidelines. We are seeing some improvements there, but we still got a little bit of work to do.
So in Commonwealth LLC, does that have anything to do with the airport?
No, it does not.
No.
That is an assisted living facility.
Okay. So how did it end up getting taxed in the first place?
Well, all assisted living facilities, like a nursing home, are taxed. The question with this one was, should they be taxed at the commercial rate or the residential rate? But because it's a business, and the way our ordinance is worded with our classification statute, it says any partial residential building with a commercial use gets the Class 2 commercial rate. So what their belief was in communications with the prior assessor is they would get the residential tax rate. But clearly it doesn't meet that definition of our ordinance, and they have to pay at the commercial rate.
So why are they getting the credit? Commercial rate's higher than residential, right?
It is.
So why are they getting the credit?
What the board felt was that the value of the property was overstated, so they reduced the assessment, not the tax rate, because they can't touch the rate.
All right, so this is a result of reducing the assessment?
Correct.
Okay. Stand by, everyone. You may need to have your jackets on. Don't put those jackets away. Okay, so we see our friends at the airport, another abatement. And 443 Jefferson Boulevard, LLC.
Correct.
Talk to us.
This was the former Citizens office building, and it had been sold a couple of times over the last year and a half or so. Went through an auction. Then the person that bought it at auction sold it again, and then it sold a third time. So the last time it sold for $2.5 million in 2018, but it was assessed at over $4.5 million.
So that was an issue with the assessment?
Correct.
And who was the company again that did the assessment?
I got to think back, because last time we split the... No, it was Vision Government Solutions last time as well. But the market we were looking at with the last assessment was 2015, and even though the tax bills went out in 2018, they still reflect the 2015 market, which has changed.
And the revals is every 3 years?
Correct.
Yeah. We're getting the calls. Believe me.
You're welcome. I'm sorry about that.
That wasn't a thank you. All right. Any questions on this, Councilman?
How often does the Board of Review meet and have the review? I see they come in like kind of a bunch.
Yeah, basically it's... depending on how many appeals for the year. Once we have the appeals set up, they basically meet every 2 weeks. So it was every other Tuesday. They were meeting for the last couple of months.
So when they do make decisions, you kind of bring them all in like this, like you had a number.
Correct.
Of,
yeah, we have one more meeting for the year scheduled on April 11th. So depending on what they rule on those, there might be another batch.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
You're
welcome. PCR 15218, resolution relative to abatements.
So this is a former request for the House of Hope, and we're going to ask that that be held for one more month.
Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion on holding till when?
The first meeting in May. Not sure what the date
motion
is.
Motion to hold to May 6th.
We have a motion to hold till May 6th. Do we have a second?
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Will you be here for a few minutes?
Yes.
I need to talk to you about
yep.
something else. Okay, PCR 4319, 2019-246. Fire apparatus annual pump testing. Chief?
Good afternoon. Peter McMichael, Chief of Warwick Fire Department.
Welcome, Chief.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
So, this is in regards to pump testing for all of our pumper tests. Our pumper trucks, this is annual testing that is required under NFPA standards as well as in the union contract. We reviewed, we received six bids from all of the area vendors that are certified to perform such testing, and of the six bids, New England Fire Equipment met all specifications and was the lowest bidder. This is a two-year bid. The previous bid expired on March 19th of 2019. That was for the total award of $9,000. This is for the same amount, and these funds will come from Budget Code 35330.
Bear with us 1 minute, Chief.
Is this in your book?
Yeah, I have it. It's after the sewer works.
Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? This is it, what we got right here?
Yep.
Go ahead.
Chief, and this is requirement. This is one of the requirements that we have, annual requirements.
That's
correct.
Right.
To
yes,
check
sir.
The safety and everything on the pumpers.
Yes, sir. It's required by the NFPA standard, which is 1911, standard for inspection, maintenance, testing, and retirement of fire apparatus, as well as by the firefighters contract.
Thank you.
Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
PCO 7-19, Pension Board. We're going to hold that till April 25th.
Motion to hold to April 25th.
22nd.
Or the 22nd.
Is it the 22nd?
Yeah.
All right. April 22nd.
Is that still an active motion?
It is. To hold till April 22nd. We have a motion to hold until April 22nd.
Seconded.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Finance Committee is adjourned at 5:29.
The time is now 5:30. Health, Education, and Welfare Committee is open.
Can I have a motion for the acceptance of the minutes for the committee meeting held on March 18th?
Make a motion to accept.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item number one, PCO 3-18, Rocky Point Ordinance, protect the rights of the private property owners. Not drafted. Councilman Lattiser.
Hold till May 20th.
Hold till May 20th.
Seconded.
Seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item number two, PCR 69-18, resolution to establish a Bucky Brook Advisory Committee. Councilman Latif, sir.
Hold until July 15th. Second.
Motion to hold till July 15th. Seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And can I have correction for PCO 3-18? You said May 20th, correct, Mr.?
Yes.
Thank you. Item number three, PCR 21-19, resolution relative to Educational Outreach Committee. Not drafted. Councilman Lattiser.
April 22nd.
Hold until April 22nd.
Second.
I have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. The time is now, well, that's yours, sorry. 5:31, Health, Education, and Welfare is closed.
So public safety will convene at 6:14 p.m. First, we have acceptance of minutes from the committee meeting held on February 4th, 2019.
Move for favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
And then next, we have a claim of Joanne Quinlan. Can you come on up to the mic, miss?
Good evening.
Good evening. I had a few questions on your claim.
Yes.
How many tires are you seeking compensation for?
Well, I would like to get all three, but I didn't know because I submitted it.
And so?
I was picking my husband up at Camp Harvey Hospital, and there was this huge pothole, and one tire went flat immediately. I called the police when I got to the hospital parking lot. Next morning, I noticed my other tire was away from the whole rim, and the other tire was flat in the morning.
And so how many?
Three. I have to put three new tires.
So is the $865.67 for three tires?
Correct.
And now, according to at least one of the estimates, one of the tires had a nail in it, right? It looks like Firestone said the left front tire has a nail in it and is almost down to the second layer of rubber on the inside edge.
Okay, they did not tell me that. They just put the tires on, charged me, and I left.
Chairman, if I may?
Of course.
It could be that there was a nail that was lodged into the tire that was a secondary cause, but not the primary cause. I've certainly seen that happen with my own tires, where a nail gets lodged in and it doesn't actually cause a problem. It's only later discovered. But I feel that in any event, as the city's under state law, unfortunately, the maximum reimbursement would be $300, that in either case, perhaps it would not affect the outcome within the first $300.
Mr. Chairman, if I may identify that the department acknowledges responsibility for the claim and authorized approval of this claim of $300, as mentioned by Councilman Ricks. That's the maximum we can give by law. So I move for favorable action in the payment of $300.
Second.
Oh, I apologize. I apologize.
Does anyone else have any questions on the committee? Does anyone else have any questions on the council? Any other questions from members of the public?
Thank you.
All right, seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Hmm? Oh.
Yeah, he did.
Second, yes. Aye.
So aye. All ayes. All right. You're all set, miss. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we have Ms. Melanie Shackelford. Ms. Shackelford, are you in the room? Do we have a motion to hold that?
Move to hold to the next meeting of April 22nd.
Seconded.
It's PCR 50-19.
So there's been a motion to hold PCR 50-19 till April 22nd, 2019. It's been seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next we have... I apologize in advance for this butchering of your last name. Miss Maria Salguero. Hello.
Hello.
Can you please state your name for the record? All right, and before we get going, there's looks like there was an issue with the affidavit you submitted. There's a portion where you're supposed to select one of three options or boxes, and you didn't check any of them. And we actually do need you to determine which one and to check one off to be able to do the claim. So I don't know if you'd want to review it now and pick one. Fair enough. Can I punt to counsel? However you want to do it.
So on the form that you filled out, you have to attest to one of the following items in order to proceed through this process. The first option is that you have not sought compensation, nor will you seek at any time compensation from any source, including but not limited to an insurance company, other than what you're seeking here by the city for any loss around the incident. The second one option asks if you have sought from an insurance company or somebody else, and then you would disclose to us what amount of money you may have received. And then the third option would be that you have not yet asked your insurance company or some other source, but you intend to, and then you would also need to disclose that to us. So those would be the – so I guess the question one is, have you sought from anyone else any other remedy from this incident, any other money from anyone else other than what you're asking for the council tonight?
I did just get an estimate from the insurance to repeat for me because I have $1,000 deductible. So I'm not getting the money from the insurance.
Okay. So
Mr. Chairman, if I could just be heard, I was just going to say, so you understand, what has happened in the past is we've paid claims, and then the person gets paid twice through the insurance company, and then the insurance company seeks restitution from the city, and we pay out twice for one claim. So that's why we ask people to check off the boxes, because if they do get if they do make two claims, then we can go back against the person that we gave the money to. So just so you're clear.
And you understand that the maximum recovery under state law is $300, right?
I read that.
Yeah, and you list your estimates here anywhere from $900 to $1,600, right? Yeah, I saw that on one of the pages. But correct me if I'm wrong, counsel, but we're confined to the 300 no matter what, right?
Under state law, it restricts for pothole-related incidents, municipalities are limited to a $300 award as a maximum cap for all damage that occurs in a pothole-related incident. So that's the maximum amount that the city is able to provide should they proceed down that way.
I Fair enough. Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council?
There is estimates on here that talk about the rear fender of the vehicle. Okay, so this pothole did damage to the rear fender? So you're saying that the back of your vehicle hit the ground? The back of your vehicle hit the ground? The front. Okay. Yeah. And this also included, this estimate also included paint. Were they painting it too? Mask areas, paint? So you wanted to paint the vehicle too, or?
No. They were just damaged. I don't know if they were going to replace that or fix it. I don't know. I don't work in a body shop.
Yeah. Because they were talking about disconnecting the battery, resetting the electronics. Yeah, okay. All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And it just should be noted that this particular pothole, this isn't actually the only claim related to it. One of the prior claims is from the same pothole. Councilman Lattis?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I actually was going to ask those same questions as the Council President just asked, but also what I find, or maybe what I don't find, is language in here that says any replacement to a tire or to a rim. Did I miss that somewheres? I see all body damage here, but I don't see anything that talks about damage to a tire or a rim. So I'm just questioning how you can have all the damage to the body, fenders and paint, et cetera, and not have a tire that has been blown out or a rim that has been significantly damaged, because the hole had to be a foot or more deep in order to damage the body. And if you're hitting a hole that big, I'm just surprised that I don't see damage to a tire or a rim. Those are my concerns.
Chairman, if I may.
Of course.
It appears, and I would ask that I be, of course, corrected if I am wrong, that this 2017 Hyundai Elantra is lower to the ground than most vehicles. And I believe that I'd have to just go back through the packet, but I think that there are at least two other claims in this time period regarding this pothole from other persons during this time period where the tires did blow out. So I think that perhaps it was as high as these estimates are, not necessarily high, but as severe as these estimates are, that perhaps it was fortunate, lucky, that that a tire didn't blow out, because that does look like quite a monster pothole, and with a car that's lower to the ground, I could see how a portion of the bumper could end up hitting the road itself, and you know, perhaps that might have even cushioned the blow for the tire. I'm certainly not an expert in that area, but it seems that the pothole is deep enough for that portion of the bumper or undercarriage to hit the pavement.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Chair. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
One question. Was there a tire damaged in the pothole?
Not that I know. Not that I know.
There was no tire damage. There was no blown tire, no rim damage. You're seeking because of the bodywork.
Correct.
Okay.
That's one thing. Damaging is what the bodywork told me. I mean, probably the tires, I'm using them, so.
Understood. Thank you.
It's been a month and a half.
Yeah.
Councilman Lattiser.
And I believe that you had said this was on the front end? On the front of the car?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Mr. Chair, in her report, it doesn't make any mention at all about damage to a tire, damage to a rim. This is the front end. And to sustain that type of damage on the fender, it would seem to me that at the very least, you're going to need to have a wheel balanced, or you're going to need to have a front end aligned, or you're going to have some damage to the ball joints or the tie rods, etc. To have damage to the fender, that means the car had to be completely bottomed out on the street to have that type of damage. So I'm just, again, it just troubles me that there's no other related damage to sustaining an impact on a pothole where your car actually bottoms out, and there's no damage to the tire, no damage to the rim, no front end alignment, no wheel balancing, no tie rods, no ball joints, no anything. Thank you.
The only thing I noticed, my car, I don't know if that's alignment, it kind of goes a little bit to the side, but I haven't even, like I said, when I took it to the body shop, they gave me a visual estimate, so I don't know if I get a car, I don't know, but I know I'm still driving with this driver, and I know this was damage to his car, I mean, to his pothole, and it was raining that day, his pothole was going to be invisible.
Yeah, at least one of these estimates does note four-wheel alignment in it.
That's Plymouth Rock.
Yep. And I think all of them, or at least two out of three, do note visual damage only for the basis for their estimate.
So, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to ask Council the question I think we're all wondering. Since we are authorized to do payouts on tire rim, is this something that she would have to go and send to another, besides her insurance, a claim through another entity?
The process certainly plays out goes back to which box are we attesting to at the start as to what options is the claimant going down the road of. And if they are seeking that other thing, certainly that would adjust what our analysis is here. But regardless of all of that, the council is limited to the $300 remedy, and that's the process for potholes that we have before us. That's the process that the claimant is participating in. So that's we're limited to that being a course of action, should you wish.
Thank you.
Any other question from members of the committee? Any other questions from members of the council? Anything from members of the public? Seeing none, entertain a motion.
Before we put a motion forward, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to know, again, I think that we are clear that we are only authorized to do payments of $300 on rim, tire, and damage from potholes.
The statute does not read to rim and tires. It reads specifically to damage incurred by reason of pothole.
Oh, okay.
If there are other ways, there are other analysis that claims that typically can come before this committee, but as it relates to pothole claims, the statute speaks directly to the entirety of the incident related to a pothole, and that is limited at $300 as a cap.
So may I ask, I'd like to ask Mr. Chairman, so you understand that
if we put forward this claim, you're limited to the $300. No, but that's what we're limited to because the claim is said to be from a pothole, if that's what this body decides. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, will we be voting on all these claims individually, or are you looking, will we be voting on them in totality?
Normally they get voted on as a group, but
I want a separate, a PCR on this bid, please.
What would our PCR be?
PCR 5119.
Thank you.
PCR 5119. Any other further questions?
If I may make a brief statement, I understand that being assigned a separate PCR number, it's my understanding that council members will vote individually on this item. I want to state my position that examining the pictures, looking at the estimates, I do feel that it is quite possible, in fact, in my opinion, probable, that hitting this pothole with that 2017 Elantra relatively low to the ground, especially with how modern cars are designed with crumple zones and the like, that driver's side of the bumper or the undercarriage or the like could have hit the ground. And I don't know why the rim wasn't bent by that kind of impact. Maybe luck. Maybe the front of the car absorbed some of the blow. But, I would be certainly surprised if the car did not need an alignment afterwards, as noted in at least one of the estimates. But I wouldn't necessarily expect that every mechanic taking a look at bodywork would necessarily also include in the estimate information on getting an alignment if the person bringing it in didn't specifically complain about the alignment when in front of the mechanic. So for those reasons, later this evening, unless there's other evidence brought up, I would intend to vote to approve in the amount of $300 as recommended by the department. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Chairman, before I second that, I'd like just to ask the so when we first started, and I was asked by council to clarify this, you have agreed that I have not sought compensation, nor will at any time seek compensation from any source, included but not limited to any insurance company, other than the City of Warwick, for the loss arising from the above-described incident. Understanding for pothole claims, the maximum recovery is $300 under Rhode Island General Law 25.513. Correct. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Councilman Lattice.
So these items here, it says right, left, pretty much all of them, referring to right, left. So to the claimant, this damage, was it sustained? Because I'm not sure if they call it right, left, is it sitting in the car or if you're outside looking at the car? So was the damage to the driver's side or the passenger side of your vehicle?
To the driver's side.
It was to the driver's side of your vehicle.
Correct.
So to go to that point, this pothole, if you look at the picture, this pothole is about 8 feet from the center line of the street, as I see it. And if you look at the car directly behind the pothole, that vehicle would have to be pretty much in the breakdown lane to hit that pothole on the right front tire, because you can see the left front tire is on the white line. So that means the vehicle was driving practically in the breakdown lane to sustain that damage on the right front tire, the driver's tire. Driver's side, yes. But it was testified to a moment ago that it was on the driver's side. The councilman made the point of saying on the driver's side. I'm questioning, you know, how does a body shop call it? Sitting in the car or looking at the car? So the answer is, was already given. It was on the driver's side. So having said that, the driver's side, for that tire to hit that driver's side, the car would have to almost be in the breakdown lane.
And I took the picture. I had backed up my car, and I took the picture.
I understand that.
It was not,
no, I understand that, but I'm looking at, I can look at a picture, and I can see the vehicle alignment to the pothole.
And this wasn't in the same day either.
It doesn't matter what day it was. The vehicle is lined up to the pothole. In order for the right front tire to hit that pothole, the left tire would have to be on the white line near the breakdown lane. I'm just making a point to go along with the issue that this Hyundai, if it has those little tiny tires are going to hit a pothole to do that type of damage. This car would have been bottomed out in that pothole. But you're free to do whatever you please. I'm just giving you the information and the facts as I see them.
Does anyone else have any further comments or questions, be it on the committee or on the council?
I believe a motion was made, Mr. Chairman.
I think so. Is there a second?
Seconded. It's a PCR 51-19.
For approval of $300. Councilman Lattiser requested it be separated out.
So, but the recommendation can go with the same with the PCR.
Okay. Gotcha. I follow.
Councilman Rex. Recommend a favorable action, PCR 51-19, was it?
Yep. And then Councilman House seconded it.
In the amount of $300 seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
So.
So normally, we tell people they're all set and they can go. However, it's obviously clear to you that at least one council member plans to debate on this and obviously vote no. It's up to you whether or not you want to stick around for the council meeting for that to happen, or you can leave and take your chances one way or another. Pardon? Already.
Thank you.
We have David Rothermel. This is the next claim. David Rothermel. Anyone want to hold that?
Move to hold to April 22nd.
Is there a second?
Seconded.
So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Then we have Francis McGuire. Hello, Mr. McGuire. Well, I assume Mr. McGuire. Can you state your name for the record? Can you state your name for the record? Can you state your name for the record? And you wrote that you were unable to obtain any other estimates, right?
No, I'm 93 years old, and I am not familiar with the alert, if you want to say it that way. I didn't get asked estimates because once the tire was flat, I had to get transportation. So the nearest place that I could get to was 9/10 of a mile down Jefferson Boulevard, which was just a solid tire.
Any questions from members of the committee?
No. In general, our procedure would be to require three estimates, even if the damage is already repaired. However, in this case, I do see that the department recommended approval and noted the attached note regarding you being unable to obtain estimates. I see that the note, as signed by you, if I may read it into the record, states, "I am 91 years of age, and I do not have the ability of going onto the internet to get prices. I hit a pothole. I went to Sullivan Tire, Jefferson Boulevard, and got a replacement, and driving around to several tire dealers to get estimates. Under the circumstances, and as the department has recommended approval, I think that an exception to the general rule is warranted here, considering the totality of the circumstances."
Any other comments or questions from members of the committee?
I would agree. 92 years old, I think you've earned your right to get a tire. Thank you.
Any questions or comments from members of the council? Anyone from members of the public? Seeing none, entertain a motion.
Move for favorable action in the amount of $200.03.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Thank you, sir. You're all set.
You're all set. Claim for Mr. Robert Lefebvre. And you submitted three estimates for damage to a tire caused by a pothole on Bellows Street, right? And it should be noted the department recommended approval for $269.74. Any members of the committee have any questions or comments?
Yes. Although I see that the department recommended approval in the amount of $269.78, which is the actual invoice, I do have to bring attention to our procedure that, unfortunately, and not to be too much of the wet blanket, that our procedure would be the lowest of the three estimates, which would be $247.21. And I would recommend approval in that amount. And I'm sorry for the $22 difference.
My tire is blown. AAA puts on a toner. I have to go to Massachusetts the next day. I haven't read your procedure. I don't know what your procedure is. I need that car. I put the tire on, read the procedure. It says you got to get two more estimates. I got the two more estimates. I wasn't clairvoyant to know what those estimates were going to be. I support a local merchant in town that we do business with. I still think that, it's not fair to not get reimbursed. My wife's been a taxpayer for 38 years and more. I can't get reimbursed for my actual expenditure.
Question to council. We're not bound to do the lowest estimate, correct?
I don't see it in the procedure.
So,
maybe practice.
So one of the reasons that we went to three estimates is because there are situations where people will go into their friends that own body shops and we're charging higher rates and then splitting differences. And so that's why we went to three estimates. And that's why the procedure's in place. It's not to, you know, cause a hardship on somebody that that did or didn't know the rules. The issue is that it was trying to prevent people from going out and getting estimates that benefited, you know, one particular tire shop over another or one automotive shop over another. And it turned out that those estimates were significantly higher than the actual damage to the tire. So I don't think that the rule is applied based on you know, how the individual person, it's like anything else, like a statute of limitations. The person might be a nice person. They didn't know the statute of limitations. It's just an across-the-board rule that we've always applied consistently, you know, for the reasons that I just stated, because, you know, obviously the city didn't fill a pothole. The person needs to get compensated and has to be at a fair and reasonable price. So that's the rule that we follow, as the councilman said, Councilman Rick said. Thank you.
And I'd like to add in, you did say that your wife is a taxpayer for the last 30 years. Our job is also to protect the taxpayers, including your wife. So we've always followed the three, and I realize that it's a $22 difference from what you paid to what the final would be, but I'd like to go for approval at the amount under the regulation of $247.21.
Second.
That is a motion.
And then there's a second.
Second.
Are there any other questions or comments from members of the council? Members of the public? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
And we have Mr. Paul Buckley. Is Mr. Paul Buckley here? Anyone like to move to hold that one?
Move to hold to April 22nd. I believe that would be PCR 53-19.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And then I believe the last one, Francis Delbonis. Is Francis Delbonis here?
The claim before, you didn't give a number to and you held it?
That was given PCR 53-19.
The one before that. There was one.
Did we approve that one, Matt? Oh.
You held it.
That was 52-19.
All right, so what'd you just do? This one, 53?
53.
Thank you.
So one more try. Is Francis Delbonis here? Seeing it's not the case, does anyone like to move to hold that?
Move to hold to April 22nd as PCR 54-19.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Unless I'm missing something, I think that's everything. All right, so then we have one last thing, acceptance of minutes from the committee meeting held on March 18th, 2019.
Move for favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Second try. I believe now we're all done, unless anyone missing anything? No? So public safety concludes at 6:51 p.m.
Can they enter?
Intergovernmental Committee meeting is open at 6:52. The first item on the agenda, the acceptance of the minutes from March 18th.
Move for favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The second item on the agenda is a resolution to create a charter review committee. That is not drafted. I know I am one of the sponsors. I don't know if anyone wants to have it put on any time before the May meeting.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, as the primary sponsor, I want to move to hold until July.
Fine.
July 15th.
Move to hold till July 15th per the sponsor.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Third item is PCR 42-19, resolution to the General Assembly in support of amendments to the Sewer Authority Enabling Act. We had two board members, financing terms, and septic systems. Councilman Lattiser, this is your...
Hold till April 22nd.
It is written, Councilman.
Per the request of the sponsor, hold until April 22nd.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That closes the intergovernmental meeting at 6:54.
It is now 6:55. The Committee on Appointments is now open. The first order of business will be acceptance of the minutes from the March 4th meeting. Do I hear a motion?
Motion for acceptance of the minutes of the March 4th, 2019 committee meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Second item on the agenda is the appointment of you, Bruce Webb, to the Land Trust Commission.
Come please second the line.
Good evening. Your name?
Bruce Webb.
Hi. Thank you for offering your service. Do you have any comments to give the committee?
No. Thank you for letting me serve.
Any questions from the committee?
Yep. Thank you very much, sir, for Mr. Webb, for volunteering to serve on this, the Land Trust Commission. I'm just looking at your background, and I think you're going to be a very good fit here. Not only your education, but you have some professional experience and also some volunteer activities, Save the Bay, URI, Watershed, Bucky Brook, all good things. Gatsby Day, I don't know, but that's always a good one too. But so I appreciate your volunteering to be a part of this very important commission here in the city, and thank you for all your efforts for our community. Thank you, sir.
Any other comments?
I would also like to thank you for stepping forward and volunteering. Important commission. I don't want to be too repetitive, but we definitely need qualified people like yourself stepping up. And I hesitate to bring this up because it's coming from an anonymous email that I just received this evening. And if I had even received this before the council meeting had started, then I, you know, would have tried to verify any information beforehand. But I feel like since I didn't have that chance, I should now, just in order to verify. Anyways, the anonymous email, and I take that for exactly what it is stating that the city ordinance requires that members of the land trust be resident electors, and that basically you're not a registered voter in Warwick. So I just wanted to give you a opportunity to respond to that, as I know that it appears that some of my other colleagues who are not on this committee but are on the council may have been copied on this anonymous email.
Very good. So I am a resident of the city of Warwick and taxpayer. However, no, I am not a voter. I'm a citizen of Canada. I have applied or started the process of applying for U.S. citizenship in the past. One requirement of that application is that all trips outside of the United States for the past 9 years be documented. If I document those incorrectly, I am guilty of immigration fraud. Hmm. That information is not freely available, nor did I record it. So at this time, to avoid large legal fees and legal problems, I am not in a position to apply for citizenship, which would allow me to be a resident elector. So beyond that, I'm afraid I have nothing to give you beyond. As soon as it's something that's open to me as an option, I will pursue it. At this time, I'm not financially able to pay those fees to go down that route.
And I would most certainly applaud you for seeking to become a U.S. citizen and becoming involved in the community as you are. And thank you for, of course, being forthright and upfront. The only thing I saw is that the name on it said anonymous, and that word was actually misspelled because there's a Y in there and there wasn't a Y. So that was the source of information that I received. Well, so I don't know exactly who sent it.
Any other comments from the committee? Any comments from the council?
Thank you. I this is not directed towards Councilman Ricks. I, like Mr. Webb, take strong issue to someone who sends something in and doesn't put their name to it.
Hmm.
I sit here in front of this microphone. My name is out there. My name's on the website. If someone has something to say to me, they say it. If there's an issue, they'll say it. I will say that, I'm sorry, I'm a little fired up right now. This man has stepped up for his city. Registered voter or not, he stepped up and he's donated a lot of time at the at-large count, as an at-large member, which, by the way, is not a voting member. He brings to us a lot of knowledge. He understands his rights as a citizen. He has no criminal record. That's my biggest concern. He has no criminal record. He's stepping up and he's helping us in our waterfronts. He's been capable. The Land Trust has nominated this gentleman to this position overwhelmingly and united. So, or except for maybe possible one, but I'm going to say something. I put his name forward because of the great words that he came. He stepped to me when I first got elected to be appointed at the, as an at-large to the Land Trust. I don't take any relevance. I don't even consider that email sent. If you're too cowardly to put your name to something, don't waste my time. That's not you, Councilman. That's whoever wrote the email. I ask for this honorable body to honor and appoint this gentleman who's already given his time to enter. He's been a good resident of Ward 3 to the at-large, I'm sorry, to represent Ward 3 at the Lands Trust. Thank you.
Chairman, if I may.
And any other comments from the committee?
One comment to the committee. I echo what Councilman Howe said about the source of the information. However, this man is an honorable man and said he is not a voter of Warwick and explained the circumstances, which sound quite reasonable to me. I do not know whether that is a legal requirement in order to become a member of the committee, or if it is a preparatory requirement, something that is not absolutely necessary. I would like to know, and I don't know if a senior member of the council or a legal counsel to give us that answer.
If I could, Mr. Chairman. So I actually created the land trust and drafted the legislation, and I think it was probably about 15 years ago, and I'm embarrassed to say I don't remember if it was a requirement. So I would defer to the city council solicitor, if he can find it, to read the language. Obviously, I don't want to start a precedent where we violate ordinance language, but that doesn't prevent us from amending ordinance language either. So there's more ways than one to skin a cat. You're just going to do it appropriately. So I'll defer to the city council solicitor.
Based on the information that Councilman Howe gave as to this being an at-large, non-voting position.
He's being appointed to the position. He's currently serving as the at-large, and he's done so for the last 2 years very honorably as a taxpayer of the city of Warwick. He has, because of that, we had a member step down. He's stepping up to the voting position of the Land Trust to represent Ward 3. Thank you.
Thank you for clarifying that. There might be a typo or misunderstanding in part of the packet, at least, because I do see that it lists as member at large and then says Ward 3 underneath. So that was part of the source of my confusion. And I would like to express for the record that I am also not a fan of these anonymous emails for exactly the reasons you stated. However, if there is a conflict with the ordinance, then regardless of the source, I would want to obviously look into it and make sure that we are complying with ordinances regardless of what the source is, as much as I do not encourage anonymous emails of this nature. It's better when people step forward and step up to the mic, as Mr. Webb has. But with that, I would defer to our city solicitor, and I follow the logic of our council president.
So I know he's going to read it. Yeah, I know it's, I'm the one that drafted it, so you're not putting anybody in any position. So I know over the years it's been hard to get people that are qualified and actually care to serve on this board. So I don't have a problem if the councilman puts in a resolution to amend the ordinance, if you don't have a problem waiting a few weeks so we could do that, and then we could get you on there, because we do appreciate people that care and that come to the meetings and that are qualified and that want to get back to the place that they reside. I don't know when this was drafted if it was ever contemplated that a person that lives here wouldn't actually be a citizen or a voter. At least it wasn't contemplated by me, and I was the drafter of the ordinance. So it is a unique situation, and if the councilman wanted to put that in, I would support it. And so maybe at this time, the easiest thing to do is to hold it, and I know that Councilman Lattiser has a question.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to follow up and support and back up Councilman Howell's comments. I'm particularly disturbed about an anonymous letter being brought up here on the council floor about this gentleman or any other individual. And if someone has any type of issue, then put your name to it. This isn't the first time issues happen because of anonymous with no credence to them. And kudos to you, Councilman Howe, for telling it like it is with respect to some anonymous accusation, true or untrue, and being brought up at this particular time. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman? I know you're holding in. I just want to weigh in. I think I agree with everything Councilman Howell and Councilman Lattiser said about the letter, you know, from the beginning. But this person has shown, just in, you know, being volunteer activity in his involvement in the his, experience, has so much to give to this this land trust meeting. And like Councilman, the president said, I just put a woman on, I think, last month because we don't have a lot of people coming in. And to have someone with this great talent that wants to be there, I think if it takes an amendment to do it, then that's what we should do. And you have my support with it.
Under the ordinance, section 5153, there is language that pertains to being a resident elector, and that would be in order to clear up any ambiguity, because it's not a defined term, if you were to proceed to hold, and you can docket something to clean up that language, would be appropriate.
And through the chair, we did look at with legal counsel the definition in Black's Law Dictionary, if you will, of elector, and that is a person that's qualified to vote in whatever district that it is. So obviously, if you're a Canadian citizen, you wouldn't be qualified to vote. And there are other instances in our democracy where people can't run for president, and they were born in a different country, but they can still become a member of the United States, vote, etc. So considering the unique nature of the land trust, considering that where it's difficult people to take the time to volunteer for these positions, you know, and Councilman Howe getting such a great candidate, I don't have a problem amending my original ordinance. And I know Councilman Howe will docket something tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, and I'll wait for the motion. But just to piggyback on that, I mean, you're a perfect example of what we are looking for. You are already part of this community. You're trying to make it stronger with all your volunteer work. And I think that Councilman Howe, this is a great pick from Ward 3. And I would like to also be on that legislation. Let's straighten it out, you know, because we want the best people to be on these boards and commissions, people that want to serve, and that you are a vital part of our community here in Warwick. And I will get this you know, language straightened out, and I look forward to supporting your appointment to this once we get all that. And again, I thank you for all your volunteer activities that you have done and what you are willing to do in the future for our community. You're obviously a vital part of our community, and we'll straighten this stuff out. So thank you.
Thank you for, very much for coming forward. We definitely will straighten this out when you want.
Oh, just a brief question to the council solicitor. For the purpose of holding, should a resolution or ordinance amendment to that effect be docketed tonight? What is the soonest point in time that it could be published, and then so that we may hold to an appropriate time without unnecessary delay, but also not unnecessary trips back before
unanimous consent?
You could dock it under unanimous consent, which would unfortunately, the ordinance takes two passages.
And in order to comply with posting requirements, we'd be looking more towards midsummer. So I believe the July 15 meeting should provide adequate opportunity to get through the entire process to amend the ordinance and post it to the public. Then you still have 3 weeks of advertising. So, June.
Mr. President, if we do it through unanimous consent, we can get it on the calendar for the April 25th. So if we vote on it April 22nd, and then we can come back again the first meeting in May, have the second passage, we're done.
Yeah, why don't we do it that way? That's fine with me.
It's certainly a possibility to fill the gap to get through the June 15 meeting, so if you want to try for them.
Yeah, so if we have a first vote in April on the ordinance, Second meeting in May. Then it would go before the mayor for signature, and then you could have the second meeting in May. Yeah. May 20th would be second.
May 20 would be second.
And then the first meeting in June, we'd be able to put you on. Thank you.
In that case, I would also voice that I would be proud to co-sponsor a resolution to that effect introduced by Councilman Howe. And hearing the timeline, I would move to hold to that earliest possible date of June 17th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Economic development's now open at 7:16. There's only one item, PCR 46-19. It's not drafted, Councilman Lattisaw. Being held to May 6th. Have a motion for that?
Move to hold till May 6th.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Economic development's closed at 7:17. Thank you.